Welcome to Dramas with a Side of Kimchi, the fangirl party every drama fan wants to join. Grab your kimchi and face mask and let's chat Asian dramas. I'm Kay Muse.
I'm Drama Geek.
And I'm Carrie the Mokne. Don't forget that we have a Patreon page. We have a monthly episode we release exclusively for our patrons. Our patrons also get an exclusive invitation to our Discord server, where we chat daily about the dramas we're watching, participate in group watches, and support each other in our drama addiction. You can find the link in our show notes.
So, and definitely come and check it out. We just finished our review of Flex X Cop, which might be one of our favorite dramas of the year. I mean, I know we're only in the first quarter of the year, so there's tons of time for more dramas to get up there. But this was a surprise hit for me, and there's going to be a season two. And so if you want to hear all our thoughts and everything, definitely go check out our Patreon. And of course, we have tons of other great episodes that we've recorded on various dramas and topics. So it's a great place to come get just more content if you've listened to everything we've put out. So yeah, join us on Patreon. But as today's topic, we are going to be discussing two dramas that started this week. So this is very much going to be a first impression on both of them, because we have only watched the first two episodes. We needed an episode for this week because the show we were going to record is with K-Drama Jen, and she is traveling right now. So we had to postpone to next week. And so we were like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, well, there's dramas starting, so let's just discuss the dramas that started. And so we got two very polar opposite dramas this time. I don't think they could be more different if they tried. Right. I mean, they are very, very different. And we're going to be discussing Lovely Runner, which is a time-traveling romantic comedy with, what was the word? Poignant moments. Surprisingly, I made fun of last week's episode. I made fun of the word poignant in the description. It actually kind of works.
It does.
So we will discuss that. It wasn't as far off as I thought it was going to be. So,
yeah.
And then, what's the other one?
Also, we are going to talk about Blood Free, which is not poignant. No. It's kind of like, yeah, we'll get into it, but let's just say it's not poignant. It's kind of in your face, noir mystery. Yeah, it's definitely a different genre of dramas. Like, nothing cutesy whatsoever about this one. So yeah, we're of course going to start off spoiler free, and then there will be some spoilers, but keep in mind it's only the first two episodes, so we're not going to be able to spoil too much. We're definitely at the very beginning of the plot, and so I have no clue where either of these shows is going to go. So it's kind of fun to really do a true first impression for once, rather than, oh, we watched six episodes and here's our thoughts. So we do not know if this is going to end out well. Just warning you about that. So if we love the first two episodes and it ends up sucking, sorry. You can't blame us. We've warned you. It's only on two episodes. And so, yeah, so that's what we're going to do. And just a quick note, it's allergy season in the Northwest, and this is my second dose of allergy meds for the day, and it does not feel like it's doing much. So if I sound congested, or Drama Geek sounds congested because she lives just a mile away from me, that is why.
So were we planning on watching either of these dramas? Now, I would say, if you haven't watched our episode on what's airing in spring, April and May, you could listen to that, because we did, not all of us that are here today, but we did go through the dramas that are coming up and talk about them and say whether we were going to watch them or not. You don't have to go listen to that episode, but I planned on watching both of these. Lovely Runner sounded very fun, and it was one of the only romantic dramas of the upcoming season. So I was like, yeah, I want to see how that goes. And then Blood Free has one of my favorite actresses in it, and it's by one of our favorite writers. So I was definitely planning on watching it.
Well, and as for me, Lovely Runner was definitely on my list. I've been looking for something fluffy. It's not exactly fluffy, but it's just, it's more along the lines of some of my favorite dramas. And so I was looking forward to that. And I've always liked, ever since we watched Extraordinary You, I've always liked Kim Hae-yoon. And then I didn't get far enough in Strong Girl, the second season, to really watch the villain. But Byeon Woo-suk, I mean, he was all over my YouTube for a while because he did such a fab job. And so I was like, yeah, I want to see this. I just want to see him be someone different. So I was definitely in on that. And then Blood Free, I mean, my girl Han Kyo-joo was in it. Of course I was going to try.
So I might have mentioned that I'm working a lot. And so I have no clue what's coming out. Like last week, the episode we recorded, I was learning about these dramas as we were talking, like literally as we were talking. So none of these were really on my radar per se, but they were both ones that I was willing to give a try, and especially if there was any kind of buzz. And this deciding of this topic for this week's episode pushed me into starting both of them, which I'm so glad it did because I don't know when I would have gotten to starting them otherwise. And I'm very happily invested now. But yes, I did not know they existed before a week ago. So, so here we are.
Power of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So I got K-Drama Jen's question. Thanks for that. Which has the better cinematography? Honestly, I enjoy Lovely Runner cinematography, and it's been used really well to kind of reveal more about the characters. Just again, this is hard without spoilers because there's a major turn at the end of episode two that changes everything. Mm-hmm. And the cinematography actually plays into that quite a bit. And so I'm enjoying Lovely Runners. The cinematography in Blood Free, just for me, it's just very, it almost feels monotone. If that makes sense. Well, except for that opening scene with the holograms that we'll discuss later. But other than that.
Yay. I love talking about cinematography. And since I write the outlines, this is always a question that's going to be on there. Because I love looking and seeing what it is about the visuals that is affecting my enjoyment of the show. And often they'll make me not enjoy a show because I am very aware of the techniques and stuff. And but both of these were so good in their own ways. I really like them. I love the whole umbrella concept. It's what used to get used a ton in early 2010 K-dramas, like right 2010 to 2014, 15, right in there. The whole umbrella thing was definitely like a romantic trope, or a creepy trope, depending if it was a murder mystery. There's some scary ones. I'm thinking of like, what was it?
I think we're thinking of the same one. It's like
where the lady went to the girl.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, what's that one's
Signal?
Name?
Was it Signal? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, first case with the kidnapping.
Yeah. So they really used to love to use umbrellas a lot in dramas back in the early 2010s. And so this just automatically made me have that almost nostalgia for that style of drama. And I noticed that there's a lot of similar drama tropes, or the way they're using camera angles and stuff, are very similar in ways to some of those past shows that I really got hooked on way back when. And so I'm really enjoying that. It gives kind of this nostalgic feel for me being a longer term watcher, but with the better quality of film. So there's definitely a quality difference, of course, than what we saw back in 2010. But it has that kind of vibe, and all the costumings, the filming, everything is kind of giving me that vibe. But I'm really, really loving the cinematography. I'm the opposite of Maknae. But Ah, blood free or free blood is so
No,
good.
It's blood free.
it's blood
Is it blood
free.
free? I was right.
It is.
I keep wanting to,
Yeah.
and then I have to be like, it's beef
Well,
because
I was
they
gonna
even
say
use
yes.
that.
Yes, I was gonna say that's how you have to remember is that it's
Yeah, it's
kind of supposed to be
beef.
like beef.
But if you just take and think in the terms of taking a snapshot of any moment and having it be a gorgeous visual, I feel like Blood Free is definitely winning on that, even though they don't use the bright colors, they don't use the bright color palette. But there's certain scenes where it's raining and just the way they filmed her looking through the window in the rain at the Christmas tree and stuff, there's just some really gorgeous scenes where it's just connecting with that poignancy and how disconnected she feels, as well as like the angst of our leading man, even though he's very stoic, they're getting those the micro expressions, I guess is a good way of putting it. The director is really pulling those out to build out the vibes that it wants to give you. So yeah, so I'm really enjoying that. And that, as disconcerting as it was, that opening sequence was very well done. They obviously have some money coming through the Disney aspect of it all, and they really did some awesome CGI stuff that I was impressed with, even though it kind of, we'll discuss it later, but yeah.
Definitely. So I'm going to agree with both of you because I think they both have their own way of telling the story that makes it feel exactly what needs to be for the story they're telling. So with, Lovely Runner, there is just a lot of that feeling of like they did a really good job of like getting you into, and I'm trying to like not spoil it, but I mean, she goes to a concert. That's not a spoiler. But like, even just the way that they did the concert and how everything leading up, and just the way that they showed that, and then some of the scenes. And again, they do use the umbrella a couple of different times in a way that like each use of it helps set the scene and the mood. So I think that they're doing a really good job of using the cinematography to set the mood in both. In both shows. And you had some sad moments in Lovely Runner, but then, kind of once you're in the past, which this one they're not going, some of the ones we've watched lately when they've gone to the past, it's been like the 80s or the night or the 90s or whatever, but this is like 2008 or something. So it's back there. It's supposed to be 15 years from 2023, right? Because their current timeline wasn't quite caught up to our current timeline. So I always pay attention to that because I'm like, oh, if they're not caught up to ours, there's going to be something that happens. So where then they'll end up getting caught up to our timeline or whatever. But it could be also because it's from a webtoon. So, and that's the other thing is that the other show that we love this actress in, not that she hasn't been in other good ones, but the one that we, I think I remember seeing her for the first time, had a very similar where you, they did such a great job of letting you know that it was kind of in a webtoon like feel to it. And we'll have to, I don't want to spoil some of the aspects, but there's a certain thing that happens with the time that they do a really good job. And then with Blood Free, it grips you at the beginning and you're just kind of like, okay, can I cover my eyes? And then I think it keeps you throughout because there is a tenseness, especially with the male lead about like what he's experiencing, what he's experienced in the past. They keep that forefront. And then just like you guys were talking about this, there can be creepy moments with umbrellas. They did their own kind of creepy
Oh,
moment with
that
an
was true.
umbrella.
Yes.
Yes, they did it. Yeah. So they had, and because I was like, when I'm watching the second one, I'm like, how do we get these to compare or be similar or anything? They use
They have
rain a lot.
umbrellas.
Yeah, I'm like, I actually was thinking, I was like, was it really raining a lot when they were filming these two and they just
Although
kind of had to incorporate
one feels
that
like real rain, and the other one, she's in the rain and her hair's not wet, which
or
drives me
what?
nuts.
I
I'm
know.
all
Well, and
like,
then when
come
she
on,
goes
CGI
inside,
rain.
her hair is wet. So it's like they got her hair wet after she wasn't in the rain. Anyway, but there's a lot of like moments in that are just as like picture snapshot, but it's instead of in Blood Free of being like happy, sweet rom-com. It's just this like uneasy feeling of, you know, she's, things are happening to her. She doesn't know who's out to get her, all that kind of stuff. And so you feel it. And the writer is really good at writing that, but this director seems to be good at helping that story along. So,
well, it also helps that it has very veteran actors in all the roles. So yeah, you don't have that, like, not that Lovely Runner isn't good, but definitely some of the actors immerse themselves in the characters a little bit more than others, I think. And you can tell. But on Blood Free, it's like every actor is in that moment.
Yeah.
So. All right. So what about the OST and the styling, which is better? I think I'm going to go one for OST and one for styling, because the OST, I'm really enjoying the music in Lovely Runner. He is a K-pop idol. He's a musician. It's part of the story arc. I love that it felt very much like an actual concert when they were filming the concert scenes. I mean, of course, the crowd was a little CGI'd, but other than that, you know, it felt very authentic. It felt like the guy was singing, like they were actually performing. And I really appreciated that that aspect was very grounded. And I loved the song that he sang. That was a great song. And so definitely that's standing out. The styling, it's cute, you know, but a lot of it's high school uniforms. I mean, there's not as much you can do with that. Whereas the styling in Blood Free, oh my word, her outfit in that opening sequence is so gorgeous.
It is.
I loved it. I loved the see-through lace. I loved the sequin top. It was absolutely phenomenal. And there were other good points too, but that outfit alone, and the main guy looked really good in a suit in every single scene he was in. So, yeah. That's my moment on those.
I agree. I really liked his song at the concert. I actually was like, huh, I wonder if he sings, because it, I mean, I know you can lip sync and it can be somebody else.
I was thinking he was, but I maybe sings too. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, Well, and sometimes a musical actor who does musicals most of the time will all of a sudden pop up in dramas and we're like, oh my gosh, they're so good. They're not green. Who are they? And I don't think that's him, but he does. He definitely did really well with that scene. So yeah, I really liked, but I also remember liking the song at the end of the episode of Blood Free. So I don't remember I don't know who it was or anything, but I don't remember the music during the show. It was just the song.
They had some really strong instrumental during the show.
Yeah. But
it was more instrumental, like the suspense instrumental and then the sweeping, like, you know. Anyway.
What was that? but I agree with the styling, her outfit at the beginning, and the way, because like there's light behind her and like the way that the skirt that she had on kind of showed and she walked out, and like it was just that perfect outfit for it. She's got some big coats that she's wearing to kind of almost make her look, she still looks very like CEO stylish, but I think she's also that it's supposed to add almost to her, like, she doesn't quite fit in with everybody else. She doesn't seem to be close to anybody else. And I think her clothes hint at that a little bit. They don't always look super comfortable. Although it's just like her jackets and everything. And him, he was standing in front of a security camera and he was like buttoning up his jacket and then his other jacket. And it looked really nice. And I also thought that the outfit he was wearing when he was in the, virtual thing.
Yeah, that was very pleasant to look at too.
It was very pleasant. And the styling for the Lovely Runner, I just want to add that he's a swimmer back in high school. So
yes, his lack of clothing is very pleasant.
We have swimmers. He has a really long torso. Anyway, Yeah, so he's a swimmer, and that adds to the styling in that drama.
Or lack of styling.
Yeah. He had
Styling not
swimmer shorts.
required.
Yep.
Well, and in Blood Free too, they have Kim Song Ho. He's the bald one. He's playing the lead scientist. They had normally, like, I remember him in City Hunter, like he was pretty slobbily dressed. And that happens to him a lot in dramas. They use him as the slightly just crazy character, and so he doesn't get a great wardrobe. But in this one, I actually noticed, like, they've got his hair trimmed, and he was wearing a nice pea coat and like a nice scarf and stuff. And I'm just like, hey, they actually dressed him well. And it takes me a long time to pay attention to the clothes. So that's saying something. He was really nicely dressed. And I did like her outfit at the beginning. I remember thinking about that, and then I was kind of surprised when she ended up in grays and blacks for the rest of the episodes, the rest of the first and second episode. So, and honestly, I mean, a black turtleneck wouldn't have been out of the range of possibility for her character, given her position, but I like that they went feminine with her instead. The styling in Lovely Runner, it very much is the nostalgic back to the kind of more classic rom-coms. And I think it's kind of a deliberate choice because it firmly sets it in the genre that it's supposed to be in. And so it gives us a foundation to work from immediately. So I appreciate that. As for the OSTs, I still wasn't paying attention. I mean, yeah, he did a great job with that one song, but I was sitting there trying to tease out all the things that were going on, and so I wasn't. It takes me at least 4 episodes before I start paying attention to the songs, and then I'm like, oh, hey, I liked that. So I have to get my feet in the story first, and then I'll pay
Gotcha.
attention to this stuff.
So this is how, like, kind of out of it I am. I almost read Drama Geek. Which drama has the more interesting characters? Oh, recording after a full day work and then cooking and all that stuff. That's it. It's an interesting podcast. Anyway, I want to say we're asking like which one is better throughout all of this, but the answer at the end is probably going to be go watch both of them. So don't get offended if you like one or the other and we pick one or the other. It's not a really a contest. It's just, it's just for fun. So which drama has the more interesting characters? I think this is kind of a tie because I've definitely started some high school dramas and some rom-coms where I just haven't really noticed or been very interested in any of the other characters. And Lovely Runner is not like that. I was paying attention to all the other characters, her best friend. I love her in the current period, and I love her as her teenage friend. And then his dad, I already knew as soon as like, well, I mean, you should recognize his voice on the phone. But then like when he goes over and he's talking to her mom and everything, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's totally his dad. So like her mom's an interesting, I always like her characters when she, that actress is on. And his dad, of course, is everybody loves him. And which I can't think of his name right now,
Tim
but
Wanhae.
yeah. But there's school, like there, I know he's got his friend that's in the band, and then we've got the second male lead who also is a very interesting character. And he's got a backstory that of course we're gonna learn about. So I think that it sets up for a really in a nice broader story that's not just about them. He got to where he was not by himself, but by the things around him. And so I think that that's important that we have a deeper, broader character base, and they did a good job at that. And then the writer for Blood Free, that's what she's good at, is she's good at creating really layered, complicated characters that as the story goes on, you're going to learn more and more about the depth of deception and intrigue. And you've got political figures usually, and even all of the people that surround the main female lead in her company, they all just from the very, the 2 episodes, you're already like, okay, so what's up with him and who's that and what is he doing? And so I think that they've done a really good job of making all the characters layered. So I think this one is a tie for me.
Okay. For me, the drama that has the more interesting characters is Lovely Runner, but that's just because I struggle with micro expressions. I can sit like if I'm really intent on it, but we'll talk about this later, but I'm struggling to connect with Blood Free overall. And so I'm struggling to connect with those characters and their motivations. And so I'm not totally seeing the layers that you guys are seeing. I'm sure that Kim Hughes is seeing them and just.
I'm dying.
Very excited to say I'm wrong. But I'm not connecting with that drama as much. And so I'm not seeing the layers. Whereas like the characters in Lovely Runner from the very beginning feel very distinct to me and very different. And they feel kind of fresh because since we started in the present day and then we're going back 15 years, you know, we know where some of them have ended up. And so to see where they're going to go, and it's not your A leads to B leads to C high school drama. And so I'm interested to see, or it feels interesting to me. I'm saying interesting too many times. You're going to cut half these out, right?
Well, I was, but now not. No.
Anyway, because of their distinctness, I'm more connected to that drama to see how they get from point A to point C, because it's not linear.
See, and I think for me, I've watched way too many rom-coms that start off really positive, and then the characters just like go eh, like halfway through. Like, so I am hoping that is not this drama. I really am. I am rooting for this drama. It's so cute. The first two episodes were so much fun. There's tons of chemistry. But if it comes to more interesting characters, and I think some of this is my love of this writer. I will admit that I'm definitely biased because I love this writer. And I know I can already see what she's doing because she did the same thing in Strangers and Strangers 2 and even Life, which I am still working through, but I am watching it. And so she's doing the exact same thing, just in a different setting, where she gets all of these characters and they're in like situations that can be very gray. You don't know who the good guy is. You don't know who the bad guys are, who's surrounding her, who's really loyal, who is using her, who's playing their own game. And you can already see all of this setting up just in the interactions between the various characters, who they're interacting with, how they react to her decisions and what decisions she is making. Mm-hmm. And so you can already start getting this feel that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that hasn't come out yet. And that's what this writer is so good about, is creating these twisty, wonderful, almost mysteries on trying to figure out who's true and who's doing what and unraveling the story. And so I already feel that with so many of these characters, and I can't wait to see what goes on. So for me, most interesting characters that I want to see what happens is definitely Blood Free. I really am enjoying the characters in Lovely Runner, but could it go off the rails? Yes. You know, any romantic comedy, there's no safety net, you know, and so we'll have to only time will tell with that one.
I will say with the writer from Stranger, like at least the first season, because I haven't finished the second season, but created a situation where it wasn't even just who was the good guy or who was the bad guy. It's the guy didn't even know. Am I good? Am I the good guy? Am I the bad guy? Am I going to like turn on him? Am I going to be like, change my mind and actually try to do the right thing? And even like at the end, and I think they even talked about possibly having like a spinoff series for that guy.
No, it's set. It's already set.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. No, because you haven't watched season two, because he's a lot more involved in season two.
Yeah.
And going back and forth and trying to decide where he's going to draw his ethical line.
Right.
And so they are doing a spinoff season with that character into a new story.
Gotcha.
So,
now,
but
season two
I
came out
it.
When there was too many things going on, and it was.
And
just
I think
really
you were just having a rough time at work, or it was something, and you couldn't deal with intense dramas. I remember it was the intensity.
Yeah,
but yeah, season two was so good.
All right, so taking a left turn, let's talk about the romance in which OTB were OTP we're most excited for.
Well, really, there's only one.
I know, I was
But
gonna say, ah.
yeah, so for me it's Lovely Runner. I'm going back to the umbrellas in the rain. I'm realizing that in Lovely Runner, it's a symbol for protection, like being an umbrella for someone else. And so they both held umbrellas over the other person. Like, if this is setting up the way I'm hoping it's set up with the symbolism, that'll be interesting to see how they protect each other. And already, I like their chemistry, even, and I love the height difference because it's hilarious because he's so freakishly tall and she is tiny. And even without the wheelchair aspect. And so it'll be fun. Whereas
You're
right
such an
now, Blood.
optimist.
Hey, and you're a pessimist.
It is based on a webtoon, and I feel like those don't always go completely, like they don't lose steam as much. Some of them can, because depending on
It
what the
just
writer does.
depends.
But
Yeah.
I think that with that, it has more of a
Do we know if
through
it's
line.
finished or not? Did
I'm not
anyone
sure.
check?
I
I'm
didn't
almost
look.
scared to check anything regarding the actual. Yeah, I don't bother reading the original work if a drama's coming out because I don't want to compare it because I've been burned before. And so, but yeah, I don't know. It could be good. It could be good. It's just our last batch of all the rom-coms, there was definitely some
Not
that
up to
didn't
standard.
produce the potential that I saw in the first two episodes. So I'm trying not to be too invested because otherwise I'll be cranky. So
So cranky at the beginning or cranky at the end?
usually the middle part is the part that always gets me because the end is all like, oh, I'm good, I'm done. I got through. But then the middle is always the part where it's like, oh, I wish they had like chopped this out, or I wish they had done that different. So it's always in the middle that there's stuff where it's just like, ugh. And usually if a show feels like it drags long, if they had cut some of the stuff in the middle, we wouldn't have had all of that and just fluff that they try to throw in. It would have been a more concise story all the way through. So, but anyway.
But also, I'm also looking at the OTP in Blood Free and going,
I
at the
mean,
current moment.
they're not an OTP. That I just
Yeah.
anybody who is
I would,
watching it or starts it,
no,
this writer
not
does
even.
not do romance in that
More
way. Like
like
they're
a OTC, one true chemistry. They have a lot of chemistry. They
they
don't have a
will.
romance, but they have a ton of chemistry playing off each other
Yeah.
just in the scenes they have together.
No.
So,
They'll have their back, each other's back. She does that good. They form a
yeah.
connection and then they protect each other and
Both of
all of
them
that.
have the chances to be total badass. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So my pick is definitely the OTP. Although I have to say, some of us like her chemistry with the second male lead too,
I kind of do too,
though.
which is another thing that makes me think of 2010-ish dramas. Because this is definitely the old style second lead syndrome going on.
Yeah,
So.
I was just doing a rewatch of Missing, and so I was like watching it. He comes on, and it took me a second. Then I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Thomas! And I was so excited. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, he's playing a high school student. Wait a minute, how old is he? Which is funny because,
Isn't he like 30 something?
so no. So the male lead is actually 32, and he's
Okay, it
playing a
was the
high
male
school
lead.
student as well. And then the Thomas actor is 27, and so he's younger. But for some reason, it
He
was
looks
more
older.
like
He
I think.
totally looks like a
Yeah.
college-age thug.
Thomas is like wise and everything. So for me to switch to, okay, he's a high school student. And he's rebellious. He's a rebellious
Yeah.
high school student. So it's kind of like, huh, what's going on? But he plays her in the original timeline, her first crush or whatever.
Oh, it's
And
so
so
epic.
there was so much secondhand embarrassment that I'm so surprised that the Magne got through with it without being. I was actually like, oh my gosh, I know why she's doing the things she's doing, but could she please stop?
Yeah.
So,
Oh, I loved it. I loved every moment of it. It was great.
yeah. But But so I think to get into some of the like getting over the secondhand embarrassment, I think we need to get to the spoilers
All right,
because that will
spoilers.
help us understand and till you get to episode two. So spoilers, we're going to talk spoilers here from out here on out. Do we need to read the synopsis for Lovely Runner? Is that
I will. I
okay?
found a better one than it was the
Okay.
one that we had before. I searched.
Gotcha.
So, and this is the synopsis off Asian Wiki, which is definitely better than the synopsis off of my drama list, even though it used the word poignant, which I appreciated someone's efforts to make it a little sassier than it is. So Lovely Runner, the synopsis. Sung Jae is a top star who has been in the spotlight since his debut. His life seems perfect, but being in the entertainment industry has completely worn him out. Meanwhile, Im Seol loves Sung Jae as an adoring fan. When she was younger, she had an accident, and due to that, she gave up on her dream and possibly herself. Like, yeah, she was pretty depressed. But listening to Sung Jae's song on the radio gave her the comfort, and she became his fan. One day, Im Seol hears breaking news that Sung Jae has ended his own life. She feels such deep sadness over the tragic news, and miraculously, she somehow travels back in time to 15 years in the past. There, she faces Sung Jae, who is a 19-year-old high school student, and she struggles to prevent his tragic future.
That is a better
It's a much better
synopsis, especially
synopsis.
if you've watched the first two episodes.
Yeah.
All right. So there are trigger warnings for Lovely Runner. There are some suicide situations for both characters in episode one.
Yeah.
How did these dramatic scenes move the vibe of the story? And I feel like KMU's kind of put it the best of like, not that as a fan of certain people, I wouldn't love if I got sent back in time to try to save their lives. But I also am like, am I really that big of a fangirl that the universe would be like, you're going back to save him because you are such a fangirl? But the situations for both of them really put that into perspective of why she would have that big of a connection with him. And then, why the universe and the magic watch would send her back in time to be able to hopefully redo their story. They don't show that they're not explicit. There's not, there's,
His is pretty
I mean, yeah, I
traumatizing.
mean, he does fall
I
off
was
into the
traumatized.
pool. He does. I mean, I guess that is, and then they show them trying to revive him. So it was traumatic, but also like then she's like rolling down the hill and crawling in water to try to get the watch while some of that is playing out. So I think that they did it in a way where it was sad, and you definitely the warning should be there that if that's something that's really hard for you to watch, then maybe you might. Just fast forward through, and they make it pretty clear of that's what's coming up and stuff. So
Yeah,
fast forwarding through that
I
part.
don't feel I will. Yeah, they said it in the synopsis,
Right.
so you know that's what happened and why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although there are definite theories out there that I've already seen that he was murdered, but I don't know if that's true. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
But
Well, and I
yeah.
think because of that added depth, when she was at her lowest point in the hospital, and he actually, he's on the radio, but they end up connecting because of that random call, and he actually talks personally to her and gives her that comfort. I mean, I think it was you that said, why couldn't he say that those same words to him to himself
Himself.
15 years in the future? But it's just, it does, it's more than like in her private life where she was just a fangirl, and things kind of grew out of that. But it's, that's a kind of connection that you can't dismiss. At least I can't, because it's on a very deep emotional level, and he was just right there with her in that moment. And so, yeah, it explains why she ended up being devoted and supporting him, because how could she not?
Well, and I appreciated it that it was deeper than, oh, she heard a song on the radio and that inspired her, because he really did call her. We learned that she didn't know who he was, but he knew who she was. And I definitely suspect that called her on purpose kind of thing. And so it was really interesting to see him give her urgently such advice because he does know what the situation is. And it was interesting that it was right at that moment where she had gotten a piece of glass, and you could tell that she was thinking of slitting her wrists while no one was around her, while she was in her hospital bed, couldn't move. She lost the use of her legs through this accident, and it was something that was beyond what she felt she could handle right at that point. So, yeah, so it's interesting seeing how that he impacted her and how that kept her going and not killing herself. And so I thank goodness there was something more deeper than, oh, well, I really like this guy. His music speaks to me. You know, it's like, yeah, I needed more than like a Taylor Swift fan kind of connection, as devout as Taylor Swift fans are, you know. So I really appreciated that whole aspect that they did build that up and gave us a reason why she was a fan and why it was deeper than just like, oh, he's hot. I like his music, you know. And it was interesting that she already had fangirl tendencies from before. And you can definitely see the difference between her fangirling over Sunjae as compared to how she was fangirling over her first crush. So it's interesting to see the differences.
Absolutely. How are we enjoying the time travel? Can I just say, when she tried to tell somebody about the future and everything stopped? And like she figured out the rules for that so fast, and it actually made sense instead of in Marry My Husband, where she just kind of assumed what would how things were
Yeah.
affecting. I love having these clear, definite rules for how her time travel works. Do we know how she's going to get back? No. But because we have this clear layout of she can't affect the future by telling people what's going to or affect
Exactly
people's
what's going to
now,
happen.
because yeah, and it also presents an interesting conundrum. She can't tell him that he's, you know, destined to off himself because he won't hear her. You know, everything will stop and her words disappear into the void. And so how is she going to get around that? And I loved like when she became the little grandma ghost and
Oh,
told him
gosh.
not to get in the water because she wanted to save his shoulder. And I just like he actually started to believe her. It was so funny,
I mean, she
especially
knew where all his scars and moles were, so why wouldn't he believe her?
which is a little disturbing, but you know, fangirls. But it was great. And I love how the changes that she's affecting are not what I would expect. You know, it's not this race against him killing himself, but rather she has to do these little small things to change him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, she just wants to make his life better, not rehaul everything he is. You know, it's all like, oh, well, he was very sad when he couldn't swim anymore, so I'm going to try to help him. You know, it's not just like, well, if I get him to be a swimmer, then he won't be in the band. She's not thinking that far ahead, needless to say. So yeah, so I am enjoying the time travel. It's quite a bit better than a lot of the time travel stuff that we got in the romantic comedies, at least in the theories. It looks like we still have a lot of what the heck is going on to go. So who knows how that's going to work? They're even using it quite comedic, where she doesn't know if she pushes the watch, if she'll go back. And then she's in school, gets startled, and then pushes it and freaks out. Just, you know, all of this is used very comedic like, and I'm really enjoying it. And it leads to her doing really stupid things like pretending to be a grandma shaman, you know. And again, discussing his body parts, which again is like, girl, you're a little bit obsessed. And the poor guy, because again, he knows her. He has had a crush on her. She's the love of his freaking life, doesn't know he exists, and suddenly she knows where his moles are. That would be weird. Just saying, it would be weird.
I just want to know how, in the original timeline, she didn't know that he lived across the street from her. Because come on, like that's a hard person to miss. Maybe he just like was too shy and didn't really.
Well,
actually...
she was so fixated on the other guy. Was, didn't they explain know? That? Is oh, yes. You didn't even notice anyone other than this other guy existed.
Yeah.
Yep, and she she is very much a straight ahead visual. Like does not see the trees around her. You know. So the time travel's been fun. It's not complicated enough that I have to like try to like use a chart to figure it out, you know. Magic watch. We got it.
Yeah. Well, and that's where with
Marry my husband.
Like with that, there seemed to be a very clear, like her dad, they went back. Like there and the little heart thing, then they went, they sent them back. And that would the time travel itself was pretty clear cut. Whereas this one is the same where it's like, you've got a watch, the watch for whatever reason is magical. And it's, you know, sent you back in time. And, you know, we saw it blinking and all that kind of stuff and it didn't work before. So it definitely is what sent her back in time. And time doesn't, you know, want her to tell exactly what happened. So that part is one of my favorites, like the when it time stops and she's like just screaming. And it actually is kind of sad too, especially when she was screaming at him. I think it was in the pool and she's like, no, you don't understand. You're gonna, you know, you're gonna hurt yourself. And she's frustrating for her, but you know, you can't tell people exactly what's gonna happen to them. At least that's in this time travel kind of thing. So I'm enjoying the time travel. And then at the end of the episode, it was kind of interesting because there's a picture of the two of them that pops up on the table where he was eating or maybe
in his apartment
drugs or whatever. Yeah. Like in the hotel or whatever that he was staying in before he.
So time is being changed.
The time is being changed. And there's another drama that I watched several years ago. It's a kind of a short one where a picture would take him back in time and she would change different things. And I loved the way they used like pictures in that one to kind of signify different moments in their past and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see if pictures are more used to show that she's kind of slowly making changes in their lives that might eventually, you know, change the timeline altogether. So.
All right, so we have three leads, and each of them is standing out in this drama. So we're going to go through the leads and share what was our favorite scene involving each one. All right, and we're going to start with Roy Sanjay. Sanjay, I really am liking him. I don't think this actor has ever stood out for me. A lot of the dramas that people say, oh, I loved him in this or that, I haven't seen. And so he's definitely a first time. I was thinking, oh, is he an idol actor? Because he was playing that idol character so naturally. And so I was like, oh, maybe he is. I don't know. But I guess not. I really am liking that almost kind of sweet, befuddled vibe that he gets around her. I love how he's almost kind of like starstruck. So much anytime she smiles and she's oblivious, and just that whole scene of when she ran into his swim meet and everyone's like guarding the virtue of all the stars and she goes and wraps herself around him, and how much that must have been like, what the heck is going on here? I love this girl forever and she does not know what my name is, and here we are. But I love all that. And that leads me to my favorite moment, which is definitely the ending of episode 2, where we get to see all of his moments where she just lit up his life. And I love their first meeting that she doesn't remember, where she thought he was the delivery guy. And
doesn't she call him Odyssey?
Yes. Well, he had that hat on and kind of had a delivery look vibe about him, you know. She was not looking too closely at all that was that, which was stupid because, I mean, that. But it was just super cute seeing all of these little snippets that meant so much to him, of him crushing and like kind of like stalking her a little, seeking her out, looking forward towards her and stuff. And And it just puts such a different emphasis on how he's reacting now because he does know who she is. And he does know that she has no clue who he is before that moment. And so it's really befuddling him to figure it out. But also, you know, he likes her. So it's like all kinds of conflict and teenage angst, I'm sure. So it's really cute. And it makes every scene in retrospect seem way different, like his jealousy, like his reactions. Everything is very different. And I love it. So good. So good.
I may have gone back and rewatched parts of the second episode
Yeah.
after the big twist reveal at the end of two, just because I was like, wait. So.
And then he went running after the bus because he loves her.
That's funny. Are we each listing our
Yeah.
favorite scenes with each character? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I really I'm trying to think. Like I clips of all at the end where you get to see his point of view. And what's really funny is after you've watched the whole thing between his mom and his dad, or her mom and his dad, and the Basic Instinct movie and everything, and then he also she you could tell
Embarrassment, he ran.
she's clueless too, because she didn't even pay attention to what movie, she didn't even care that who was in front of her renting this movie. Like she, I mean, he did
Yeah.
run and he took the didn't take the case and took the thing with him and then hid it under his bed so that nobody could find it, of course. But like, poor guy, like he just he you know, he wanted to give her a pillow, so then he sat there for hours. Like that's some commitment. I really don't know
Also, I
that.
don't think like our kids would not understand the awkwardness of having to pick that video out of this.
I
They'd be like, "What?" I'm like, "No, back in the day, that was really risque."
know. Like,
But
it was.
yeah.
And the way he yells at his dad when he accidentally declines
I
her friend request because her dad surprised
know.
his dad surprised him.
And I
I
thought
mean,
he
that
was
was
being all
pure
stoic and
teenager.
like, oh, she's a creep. Like, she's
Right?
stalking me. But no, he was going to accept. And then it traumatized.
Yeah, I mean, he was
It
so
was so
excited when
cute.
he saw her friend request too. It was
Oh, they're so cute together.
like,
They are. I love them.
you have a favorite moment, Mockney?
That was my favorite moment when
What
he was
was it?
pure teenager
Oh, okay.
yelling at his
His
dad.
dad, okay. All right, so the next character is Kim Tae-sung. He is the second male lead, and their first interaction where I don't know what he was doing with the guys.
They were going to
Maybe
beat him up.
they were gonna beat him up, and then yeah, because he keeps getting in fights. So they were gonna beat him up, and her jumping off and landing on the guy because
And
she's
then,
trying.
like, Nuna-ing them
I
to
know.
the nth degree.
Right.
She's trying. Well, I mean, she knows that because 15, I don't know, 15 years ago, I feel like that they should have already had like some of the propaganda and all that kind of, not propaganda because it's actually true. But anyway,
Yeah.
that like her, all you need to quit smoking. But like, so he grabs her, they run, and then he ditches her and leaves her with the lighter and the cigarettes in her hand, and so she gets in trouble. Which is funny because when she's talking to her friend and she's like, so this is not about Kim Tae-sung, this is actually Sunjae. But when her friend's like, well, what was your first impression like? And she's like, oh, it was horrible. And she thinks it's the running to him and wrapping her arms around his naked body and like, and all that. And then she's like, what's your second? And the second one was her being punished for the cigarettes and the lighter because Kim Tae-sung just left her there, which is funny because once you know that she had declared her love for him that morning, and then now she's acting all this different way for he's getting the opposite. So the other guy is like, she never does knows who I am, and now she's running and declaring her love for me because she says, I love you when she runs up to him. But anyway, so yeah, I think that he's getting the opposite of she loved him before, and now she's just like, ugh, how could I have liked you? And it's so relatable because you know if you went back to who you
You're
had a
such a
first crush on,
schmuck.
you're like, oh
Yeah.
my gosh. Especially at that age, not as an adult, But having to be an adult and going back and being around your first crush, you'd be like, oh,
well, you
I'm
like
such a
see
teenager.
How the bad boy so is really just like a delinquent punk.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, you're a lot less cool now that I have more life experience, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I do love how the actor is so different. Song Gong-hee. I will get this right. Anyway, he's so different from his Thomas character. Like, I did not see that coming, that he was going to be this delinquent second lead. I was figuring, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I was figuring. Once he popped on the screen, though, he turned into a total imp. And I was just like, oh, this is going to be fun. So
I think part of what is giving me Whiplash second lead syndrome vibes is this is who the lead would have been back in 2012.
Right.
It would have been the typical jerk who was really nice underneath, but he's always like kind of a jerk and teases the girls a little too much. And, you know, then suddenly pays attention to the girl that's treating him different. So he's what you usually would have as the lead back 15 years ago. But now here we are where we have the like really sweet guy lead, and that's more of the tradition now. But my nostalgia brain still makes me go to be like, oh, they should be together, you know? I think my favorite part is kind of like two. I will say I loved where he literally read back the letter she wrote him.
So embarrassing.
That was so funny. Where she's like waxing poetic about his eyes and sparkling and everything. It's the
Stole
most
the
cringe. Yeah, it's so cringy. And the fact that he memorized it, which was very, like, very funny. And then I also love the scene where they are on the steps after he's been in that fight, and she comes and gives him just some really great advice about, you know, back when I was your age, I thought my mother, you know, that they didn't care, that they didn't think about me that way. And then something bad happened and I realized differently. And with age, I've gained insight into, you know, a parent might not be able to show a teenager because of just the way the teenager is, or the hormones, or everything connected between that dynamic as a teenager with your parents. You don't see the care and the angst that comes with being a parent at that time. And that, you know, and you could see that it gave him hope that that was maybe true in his own situation. And it's just like, he was very good at expressing that almost like hope, but resignation that it's not true. And I thought that was a very well done scene. And I was very impressed.
And I'm just liking Im-sol. Like, she is just kind of a ball of energy from the very beginning, but it doesn't feel fake or forced. It's just who she is. And I think Kim Hae-yoon deserves a lot of credit for playing her this way, because it's that genuineness that makes the secondhand embarrassment not as bad as it could be for the most part. Yeah, I still cringe during the whole letter part. But but I think it's we were talking before, she has the same energy in this role that Park So-dam has in Cinderella in Four Nights. Just kind of the spunky ball of sunshine. And I'm really enjoying that. And I like, it's part of the reason that I can really stick with her and root for her, because that's her natural state. She has her low point in the hospital, and that feels real too. But she's doing her best to overcome. And like, even when she's facing obstacles in the future, when she's in her wheelchair, like getting turned down for a job because they don't have an elevator to the office where she might be working, which that made me mad. But
that's illegal, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
here it is, yeah.
But I know
in
that
Korea?
That's something that's being...
Yeah, probably not in Korea.
I know it's something that they are working on. Like, I know I've heard that that is something that they're working toward and everything. But yeah, I would assume that it's not... that could be very, very real.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that more than once in a drama,
Yeah.
like in Just Between Lovers, when that best friend was in a wheelchair and she couldn't get into the restaurant in her own building because they didn't have a ramp. Yeah.
So what's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene? I don't know. I like them all. She's just so much fun to watch. And so I can think of a lot of good things. Yeah, this is hard.
You can just say all of them. You can just say all of them.
Yeah, I'm gonna say all of them
I
because yeah.
know. All right. So I have one or two. One that I especially like is, I'm guessing that this is maybe why they titled it Lovely Runner, is she's always running towards him once she gets her legs back, or even when she was in her wheelchair, she was always coming towards him. And she just has this, it almost is a light shining within her that just explodes out, whether it's smiling or energy. And I really like all those scenes when she's running and she thinks he's the delivery man, and just that exuberance she had. It's like, oh, I totally could see why he would fall instantly in love with her. Like, just that joyful positivity was like shining forth. And so I really like that scene. Like, I'm loving her secondhand embarrassment. Like, it's so good.
Oh.
And she's just all like saying the most ridiculous things. Like when he's asking, like, why are you always crying when you're around me? And she decides that it's because her dog died named Otter. And just that whole scene, the dialogue back and forth was so well done. And it was so ridiculous. And he's just all like, seriously, Otter?
He's like, it could have been Seal, and you could see the light in her eyes. She's like, oh my gosh, I could have said Seal and it would have made more sense.
And so yeah, so I'm just loving that witty bantering between them. It's very cute. Their give and take is very cute. And her give and take with the second lead male is so good. I love that too. Like how she's always like almost mother henning him to death and is delightful. And he's just all like, what the heck is going on? You're my same age. Did you like get held back a year or something?
Noonan,
Yeah, trying to understand why suddenly she's all like, you little boy, you know, when they're the same age. So yeah, all of that's just delightful.
I like everything that you guys have listed, but so I'm going to talk about the concert scene. She does not, she loses the, she has a really bad day. Like, she gets there, loses her ticket, or and doesn't get the job interview, so she doesn't get to see the concert, but she stays outside, and you can hear, it's a stadium to where you can hear the concert from outside. So she stays outside and they show him performing and her, and then he performs like their debut song, which is the song that played on the radio after their first conversation. Well, it wasn't their first conversation. First conversation th she thinks that they had,
Yeah.
after, you know, she was hitting her low point. And so that song means a lot to her. And so, like, she's just sitting there and she, you know, she has her little headband on and just tears in her eyes singing the song. And it just kind of captured all of that again of like, yes, she's a fangirl, but she also, it means a lot to her. He really did save her life. And I just loved, because again, she is this bubble, you know, bubbly ray of sunshine all the time, but she's doing a really good job of also being, showing the poignant, see what I did there, moment. And so I think that was a really good a moment that captured kind of that feeling of, again, I mean, I've cried at a concert before and I didn't have that deep of a the
Connection.
connection.
She
So.
makes the best out of what she has to deal with, and she's inspirational because of it. So, all right. So, now moving on to something else.
So we're gonna do the synopsis. I still, I'm gonna have to edit it. I'm gonna have to give it a
That's
little
fine.
flair, because so blood free, ending millions of years of humans eating animal meat, BF or blood free now dominates the genetically engineered cultured meat market. They are pe there are people inside BF and outsiders who begin to have doubts about the path taken by Yoon Ja Yu, she's the CEO and she's the main lead of the drama. So she has very important people that are around her that helped her create the company, that helped her create the meet and engineered it. Like we were saying, the actor who played the Ajashi in City Hunter, like he's been in so many things, but he's he's like the lab genius that helped her, you know, create this and everything. So she's got all of these very important people around her, and lots of people are not happy with her because of what genetically engineered meat means to other people's livelihood. And so it's kind of a volatile situation that she's in. She has the person that founded the company with her, Ansan, and again, he has a PhD in physiology, although again, they put like there's so much stuff in this, but it didn't mean a whole lot, like when you're watching it.
Yeah.
But so she's got all of these people who helped her build this very huge company that has lots of complicated pieces to it to be able, I mean, like if you're creating meat, it's a lot of people that have to know a lot of things that are important. So yeah. Meanwhile, after graduating from the Naval Academy, like he's a soldier. He has been a soldier for a long time. He served in the army, but he got out of the army and he's been a bodyguard. But now he's not working for that person anymore. And now he's available to be, I wish I could, break out in song to the bodyguard soundtrack.
Oh goodness. It totally has those vibes. Right. Though.
So she needs protecting. Everybody is out to get her, whether it's people who think that she's a murderer. I don't know who they think she murdered. Maybe just people who lost their livelihood because people are no longer eating cows and beef and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and but she's like, also done the market with the fish and ocean. Right. So yeah, she's gotten the fishermen out of business. Right. And now she's starting to work towards redoing grains and right, all and of all the stuff that makes food, right, which would make a lot of the agriculture unnecessary. And so right. She's doing something inspirational for saving the planet, but when you add the human element in it, she's making millions of people lose their livelihoods. Mm-hmm. Right. So, mm-hmm. So there's people that hate her because of that, I think, is kind of where most of it comes from.
So he's planning on running across in the rain and swooping her up and protecting her. That's
more rain.
Maybe not. But so yeah, he also at some point in time, because we're in spoiler section, also at some point in time worked with the former president. So he's done a lot of important things. Yes. Yeah.
More than just graduated from Naval Academy.
Right? He's the all around like best of the military turn mercenary kind of people, I think. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So we have to talk about the beginning scenes from Blood Free because they definitely deserve a trigger warning. In fact, I was glad Kim Yu's warned me because I was about to eat lunch. So I just
freaking was eating when, oh my word. And then when they were skinning, talking about the furs and skinning things, and I'm like, you know, it was not a good moment to be eating something.
Do not eat when you start this drama.
Just the first 5 minutes. And again, yeah, it's a lot more implied cruelty than as bad as they could have shown. But there's a lot of like
holograms and
yeah,
CGI.
Yeah.
So I didn't have issues watching it because I fast forwarded it.
I was eating and I did watch it and I had issues. Like, it was very cool how they did it. I was very impressed with that as an intro into why they are creating all of this, because people are saying, well, she's just greedy, but it does seem like she has a genuine want to help solve the problem that a lot of things we use the world for are causing global warming. And so she's definitely came up with a solution, and she is going forward with solving that. And all of these visuals give you reasons why this is necessary. So I thought it was very effective, but it still is a little traumatizing.
Yeah, no, it definitely was like, oh, okay. And because they show they want you to see what the process is to raise and kill and butcher and all of that a cow to put it on your plate. So
Or
it
minks for
or
your clothes, or
right.
alligators for, you know. So yeah, so it's they definitely get their point across.
Yeah. But I again it was a very fat like it kind of happens fast, although then they switch to the minks and all that, and then you're like, okay, sure. But like then it's over and you're like, okay, I did wasn't eating because I was warned. And it was like, but they did it in a way, it was for shock value, and that's what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be shocking you, and so you're just kind of like,
Yeah,
oh.
it's a meeting with all of the investors and the big wigs. So, of course, you want to get your point across. And yeah, so it's interesting, and it also sets up the show. Like, it definitely sets up what's going on, why it's so divisive, and why she needs a bodyguard. And now that stupid song is playing in my head as well. You say the word bodyguard, and I'm like, yeah, I can't sing, so I won't even try. But you know, those of you that know the song, you know.
Thank you, Whitney Houston.
right, so let's talk about our leads. And do we have any favorite scenes yet? I think this one's a little harder to pick favorite scenes because, like, stuff is happening, but it feels like it's all set up. Like, I don't think we've gotten into the meat and potatoes of the plot yet. And so it's not like we get that wonderful last moment reveal kind of thing quite yet. At least I don't think we do, because I still have 10 minutes to watch in episode two because I work way too much. And I'm a waitress, and I was literally like watching it at work in between tables when there was no one in the restaurant. So I got like 30 minutes in my shift of nobody in the restaurant, and I had my Korean TV blaring as I'm watching, trying to get it done, but it didn't happen. So 10 more minutes. So if something exciting happened in those 10 minutes, I haven't seen it yet. So let's talk about Woo Chae-woon, who is our leading man, played by Joo Ji-hoon, who has actually become one of my favorite actors over time. I remember watching him way, 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 way back when he was like the skinniest little thing. And he's definitely matured and is definitely a hot adjusy now. So yeah, I really loved how competent he was at his job. You could tell that, you know what, if I was going to be attacked by South American terrorists, I would want him on my side. And I think, of course, my favorite scene is watching him do all of his butt kicking that he had to do to prove that he had the skills to be her bodyguard. And that was very cool.
I agree. I would say that, or like when he gets back home and they trick him, which I mean, he kind of knew. He was like, okay, is this over yet?
Oh, when
Whatever.
he
But
pulled that knife, oh
yeah.
my word, so hot.
Or the tape, like pushing the table up. I get like when
Oh,
he,
yeah.
and then push the table up or whatever. But yeah, no, it was, that was nice. And I also thought like when even just small things of just him standing in front of this, the camera and buttoning up his coat and kind of getting his bearings, he just exuded. Or following into her into the elevator. I don't. He just has
He
a
has a presence.
presence about him. Yeah,
Yeah.
he has a presence to where
I like
if.
the scene with him and the previous president as well. I thought that was
Yeah.
very well done because you aren't quite sure how much of this he's buying.
Right.
Because
And
I
he was
don't
very
think he's,
subdued,
yeah, I don't
you
think he's
know.
100% company man. He just wants to
Yeah.
know the truth.
Yep.
And
Agreed.
so that's very different than what the president wants is to screw her over, ex-president. So yeah, so it's interesting. He just has a lot of chemistry with pretty much anyone on screen.
Yeah, he does. And that cool competency that he exudes, it's just, it's He does well at it because it's different from the way he was in Along with the Gods, because he was competent there, but like he was talkative and kind of a playboy. And so again, it's that range thing where he's flipped and now he doesn't say a whole lot. He doesn't speak unless he needs to. And it's kind of he's intriguing because of that. He's made himself mysterious because he doesn't talk a lot. So, but my favorite scene, you guys already said it was when he went back to his house and the test was still continuing, but he kind of knew that it would be.
Yeah. And his house was, I liked his house too. There's some great stuff. Yeah, the design was very cool.
Though I want to know why Monchique is a dumb name for a cat. I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Just the fact that that guy was calling him out on it. He was like, really? And
I don't know. Anyone who speaks Korean, let us know because we don't know.
Yes, please.
All right. So now we're going to talk about the leading lady, Yoon Jae-yoo. Jaw, sorry, Yoon Jae-yoo. And I think the very opening scene, like the rest of the time, poor lady, she's recovering from being like smushed by a body in on the top of her car and almost having like her head, knocked off or whatever. So you can, and then just things keep coming at her. So she's doing a good job of like, you can tell she's muddling through. She's trying to take in everything that's happening within a very short period of time, but like her outfit and her on stage, she was presenting the information that you could tell like she's passionate about and that she believes in. And I, from the very beginning, of course, I might be biased because of the actress, but I didn't get the sense that she was just out to make money. That she did feel, or at least start with a righteous purpose of like trying to not depend on meat and to save the earth and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like that opening scene really set the stage for her. And then the rest of the time, she definitely was just kind of having to like go through all of the stuff of like all these things that were happening to her. But I did also like any of the scenes that she was with the male lead. So
Well, it's hard not to, because like you said, they do have good chemistry. And it was just kind of interesting that we were getting her thoughts. Like, she was sitting there, like she comes off as very much an introvert because she was able to present really well, but then like she keeps a lot of her thoughts to herself. And so we get the voiceover of her thinking, and it's just like, maybe you should share that at least with your bodyguard, but it's because she's trying to put the puzzle pieces together.
But also, she doesn't trust him. He's new. She doesn't know him.
There's that too. She
I
does not
think
run on gut feeling.
her old bodyguard probably told them where that she was going to be so that he could jump on her car. So I can see why
True.
during those moments that we see after that happens, she's very guarded of like, I don't know who to trust right now because of all this stuff that's going on. So
I think it's very interesting that she is 100% the company. I don't feel like at this point that we see much difference from her as a person, as her as the CEO, because she is always thinking how this is going to impact the company. What do I need to do to weather the storm? Who do I need to like talk to? It's never about, well, someone's trying to kill me. It's like, well, what's this going to do to the company? How is this going to harm the bottom line? And so I really find it very interesting that so far she is the company. There's no difference between her work as a work person and who she is as an individual. There's no difference at this point. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where that leads to. And you could definitely see her going through all of the possibilities when she was trying to figure out the best way to go forward with the terrorists that not, well, not the terrorists that are saying to kill her and put a bounty on her head, but the people that did the malware and how this is going to affect the company if she goes public, how what they need to do, but she still doesn't want to let them off. And so it's very interesting to see her go through all those calculations and then make a decision. It's definitely, as boring as it might seem, it's a highlight of the storytelling so far. And I'm really liking her a lot.
And then we have her business partner, I guess. And like
An
rumored lover.
impossible lover, yes.
Yes.
I don't think
On
so,
song.
but possible. It's rumored.
Yeah, they were pretty clear about that. And I feel like we don't get a read on him very much at all. Like he's there and with her, and there's one part where he corrects himself because he was using bon mot with her and he changed to more formal speech. But like I kind of got nothing on him. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, but I just like there's not enough with him yet for me to have any favorite scenes or anything.
This is where I may disagree with Kim Hughes and agree with the Mangne. I needed to go back and look because I think I'm actually watching something with him in the other one. So, but no, I think that he, I know that there's more to him. I know that he's definitely somebody that we're gonna have to watch out for, but he also didn't. I found his interview with the bodyguard, like with the male lead, like I found that very interesting to watch. So that might be like my favorite scene with him in, but he's not a like you were saying before, I don't know that the first two episodes is a good, I'm going to pick a favorite scene type of, it's not that
Yeah.
kind of drama other than maybe the intro was very, but I think it's a lot of just kind of setting things up and really getting the feel for this world and the characters. So, yeah, I don't know that any of the scenes other than the one with the male lead stood out to me.
Yeah, I actually agree with you on
Okay.
this. It's just I needed a third. So, and he's the one that we got, I think, the most information about out of all the characters that are in the show, other than the main leads. And I do feel like he's going to have, I don't know if he's against her, with her, or what's going on, but I feel like he's definitely going to have some strong story arcs and having to make decisions in the future. I did find it interesting that he obviously does have some concern and compassion for the guy that fell on top of the car. You know, he went to the funeral house to kind of, I'm not sure if he was there to pay his respects or just seeing damage control or what was going on. So that was kind of an interesting scene that I'm not sure where he is ethically on that aspect yet, but they definitely showed it for a reason because the creepy guy with the umbrella was there and also doing creepy side eyes. So I don't know. I want to know what's going on. So I do think he's going to be integral going forward in whatever crazy plot is going on.
Yeah,
So he's definitely someone to watch, even if it's not those super uber dramatic scenes yet. All right. And so, which brings me to why I am enjoying this so much. Is this at all similar to Lee Soo-young's past dramas? It totally is. This is such a. She excels at having a ton of extremely gray colored characters with maybe one super, I want the truth outlier, and weaving these crazy politicking, satisfying stories that, again, you know, you wouldn't think, like in Strangers, it was all about police corruption. But it wasn't the regular police corruption that we necessarily always get. So it was really interesting to see her weave in and out between all of these gray characters. And some of them you feel sympathy for, some of them you think are totally creepy. There's one that ends up being an offshoot into his own drama because he found redemption, even though he was a super gray, creepy guy in season one. So she does these great things with characters, and you can see the dual personality. You can see why there'd be two opinions on every side. Like, obviously, she's causing a lot of harm to a lot of people. So you could understand, depending on the situation or the life experiences, why someone in her corporation would maybe oppose her and not that they're completely wrong. They have a different belief system, and maybe killing a guy on top of her car is wrong, but you know, the feelings themselves aren't always so cut and dry. And I feel like she excels at that kind of drama and sucks you into these extremely complex personalities. And I am excited to get sucked in again into one of her shows.
So I'm gonna say that Cammy said it all. One, because my headache is just getting worse, but also because I think she really did just say it all. Like
Yeah.
that's the drama,
And I'm
the
not sure,
writer.
Maknae, have you ever watched any of her other dramas?
No, I tried
Okay, that's
Stranger,
what
but
I
I couldn't.
Yeah, I don't think these are your type of shows because yeah,
Yeah.
it's a lot of like micro expressions.
And
So
politicking and subtle
But good
maneuvering. Yeah.
politicking, because even the drama geek likes these, and
Even the drama
the drama
geek.
geek. But she doesn't often like the bad guy Shable shows, but this is a lot more nuanced, I feel.
All right, so how do we feel about the alternate world events that the show has implemented? I think that, I mean, I wish I should pull up my text message or whatever that I sent. The writer is good at, she's got this sci-fi twist to the story, but because she's grounding everything in things we're familiar with and layered characters and everything, I don't feel like it's just so far out there. That's kind of like how I felt about, gosh, Jisung and the K-pop boy,
Oh,
and
Devil Judge.
yes,
Oh, yeah,
sorry,
where it was like
I
totally crazy pants, but
yeah
you're
it
like, oh,
but I
this
mean
world.
it's right, but I mean it had an alternate like reality of like all of the politics, all that was going on, but also it was like it was grounded enough that it didn't feel like completely sci-fi, completely alternate world, that kind of thing. And that's how I feel like this one is where, you know, yes, she's pretty much obliterated. There's several things. It's not just the meat, because they were also talking about the war just ended, so I'm not quite sure exactly which war had just ended or whatever. So there's definitely some different things within the timeline, and they're in 2025, December, like Christmas of 2025. They're about to hit 2026. So they're in the future and everything. So I feel like it's being done well, and I don't think that there's going to be any too crazy stuff that's going to make it feel out there. I think it's just that's the storyline to propel this type of political and cultural conflicts between people and all that kind of stuff. So I think that it's done really
Can I just say same? Because, yeah,
well.
it doesn't even feel like an alternate world.
Yeah.
It's just this one aspect has changed. But of course, it's going to have a ripple effect because it is taking out major industries. But right now, it feels kind of our world. So the sci-fi is probably going to creep up on you.
I agree completely with what you guys said. So, yay. So,
Okay.
do you think our viewers are going to enjoy this drama? I
I
think,
think.
yeah, I think people that like her past dramas or like the more extremely cerebral kind of shows where you have to like really go through layers and layers of betrayal, then you'll like the show.
Agreed. Yeah, that's pretty much
That's
we're
cerebral was actually the word I was thinking of. Yeah. If you like the cerebral, then this is for you.
Yeah.
And if we could choose one, which one would we choose? I feel like
All right, I need to.
I know K Muse's answer, and I know the Magne's answer. My answer is the one everybody's probably like. But so you guys go ahead and answer. Which one would you choose?
I don't want to choose, but if I
You
could
put the
only do
question.
one, I would probably do the beef one first because I have a lot more faith that it's going to be very well written and I don't know about the other one. So if I had to choose, I would choose Blood Free because this writer is so intricate that all the details make sense in the end. So.
And I, of course, would choose Lovely Runner. And part of the draw is actually the good writing because just the clarity of rules that they set out in the beginning for the time travel, that to me indicates that they've thought things through. And so it gives me hope that they'll have a good ending. And this is the same writer as True Beauty, which I believe a lot of people liked. I don't think I got through it, but a lot of people liked it. I have faith that it will end well as well.
So, if I only had to choose one, okay. So, right now, there are not a lot of romance stuff out there. And so, in this exact drama climate moment, I think I would choose Lovely Runner with the understanding that I could go back late at a later date and binge Flood Free because I know, and the episode count is the perfect episode count to binge. So if we're talking about in this very moment, that would be my answer.
All right, so thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear what you thought about this episode. You can reach us on Twitter, Facebook, or our Patreon page. The links are in our show notes.
We love blogging about Asian dramas, but behind the scenes, we have so much more to say, and we want to share it with you. And talking is so much faster than typing.